I'm sure that there would not be nearly as many disasters. If any man's move toward marriage was preceded by prayer, by surrender, by the willingness to receive the woman that God gives him.
Elizabeth Elliot says, Hollywood's notion of love is millions of miles from the slightest comprehension of what the love of God is all about. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of Quest for Love and Love Has a Price Tag. Helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life, here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about courtship. Many of you are longing to be courted. Many of you women would love to be courted. Some of you men, I suppose, are wishing you knew how to do it. In yesterday's talk, I gave some principles of how God's way leads to marriage. Some principles that came from the life of Charles M. Alexander. I'm sure that some of my listeners were saying, well, how in the world can you know somebody if you've never dated them? I mean, this woman, you got to be kidding. You're going to get married without ever having a date? It's happened millions of times in human history. Dating is a very recent invention. And I don't think it works very well. I think it's for the birds. Jim Elliot and I had one date when we were college students, and hardly anything else that could be called a date after we became missionaries until we were engaged, which was a long time after college. But I gave you a story yesterday, which is just one example of how it can work. And I heard of a much more recent example of almost exactly the same method. A young man who felt that it was time to get married. In fact, his parents were telling him, it's time you got married. But this young man was determined to do the will of God. And so he prayed about it. And to his surprise, it seemed that God was putting his finger on a certain woman who was not one that would have appealed to him particularly as far as her looks went. And he didn't know her very well at all. But again and again, as he prayed, this woman's name came to his mind. And often, in rather odd ways, she seemed to cross his path. What he didn't know was that the woman was praying at the same time that God would send her a man who would have the faith to propose to her without the whole idea of falling in love. And those two people are engaged. It can happen. But I want to take you back to a very ancient paradigm, the story of Abraham sending his servant out to find a wife for Isaac. The story is in Genesis 24, when Abraham had given his servant the instructions that he was to go and find a wife for Isaac. He promised that God would send his angel before him, and from there he was to take a wife for his son. He said, if the woman is unwilling to come with you, then you will be released from your oath to me, but you must not take my son back there. So the servant put his hand under his master Abraham's thigh and swore an oath in those terms. This hand on the thigh thing was the sign in those days of swearing an oath, as nowadays we put a hand on the Bible. So the servant did what would be customary for a wealthy family in those days. He took 10 camels from his master's hands and all kinds of gifts, and he set out in the direction that Abraham had chosen. And he did the logical thing. He went to where women could be observed, which was the village well. Towards evening, the time when the women came out to draw water, he made the camels kneel down by the well outside the city. And notice this, he prayed, O Lord God of my master Abraham, give me good fortune this day. Keep faith with my master Abraham. Here I stand by the spring, and the women of the city are coming out to draw water. Let it be like this. I shall say to a girl, please lower your jar so that I may drink. And if she answers, drink, and I will water your camels also, that will be the girl whom thou dost intend for thy servant, Isaac. In this way I shall know that thou hast kept faith with my master. Now notice, he was asking for a sign from God. He was only going to request water for himself. Please lower your jar so that I may drink. But if the girl was the kind who would go the second mile, if she offered him not only a drink for himself, but also water for his camels, that would be a woman of character. So he said, "May this be the way that I will know that it's the one you have chosen." But he had to make the choice to begin with. You see, our choices, our freedom of will, cooperate with the will of God. That was not going to be the final decision on the servant's part. But he had to make a move. You know, God can't lead us unless we're moving, and we have to be continually asking for his guidance. So he said, "I'm going to make this move. Then you seal it by having the woman offer to draw water for the camels." And can you imagine drawing water for 10 camels by hand from a well? I have no idea how much a camel drinks. I should have looked that up, but it must be many gallons. Before he had finished praying silently, he saw Rebekah coming out with her water jug on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Abraham's brother, Nahor. The girl was very beautiful, a virgin, who had had no intercourse with a man. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up again. Abraham's servant hurried to meet her and said, "Give me a sip of water from your jar." "Drink, sir," she answered, and at once lowered her jar onto her hand to let him drink. You can picture her with this great clay jar on her head. She lowers it to her hand so he can drink. When she had finished giving him a drink, she said, "Now I will draw water for your camels until they have had enough." So she quickly emptied her jar, and I think that also indicates her character, into the water trough. She moved quickly. She was businesslike and thorough and brisk and efficient. She hurried again to the well to draw water and watered all the camels. Can't you just picture her running back and forth, running to the spring, and of course walking back with the full jar? And all this time, what was the servant doing? Verse 21 of Genesis 24. The man was watching quietly to see whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took a gold nose ring weighing half a shekel and two bracelets for her wrists weighing 10 shekels, also of gold, and said, "Tell me, please, whose daughter you are. Is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night?" And she answered, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Nahor and Milcah, and we have plenty of straw and fodder, and also room for you to spend the night." So the man bowed down and prostrated himself to the Lord and said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not failed to keep faith and truth with my master. For I have been guided by the Lord to the house of my master's kinsman." The most important things that I want to point out to you from this story are, first of all, that he prayed silently, and he watched quietly, and he prostrated himself to the Lord and thanked him for his guidance. I'm not suggesting that you find somebody else to go looking for a wife for you. I'm not suggesting that in our culture we have to return to the culture of Abraham's time. But within the culture in which we live, would it not be just as appropriate for a young man to pray for a long time, to pray earnestly, to surrender himself to the will of God, to seek to discern his will, to keep his eyes open, and to watch quietly? I'm sure that there would not be nearly as many disasters if any man's move toward marriage was preceded by prayer, by surrender, by the willingness to receive the woman that God gives him. It's really absurd, you know, to go by outward appearance. I had made a list for myself when I was about 16 years old in the back of my diary of what I was looking for in a husband. And there were a lot of very silly things on that list, but there were some important things too. The most important thing is that he should be a Christian. The second thing would be that he was headed for the mission field. But I also wanted a man 6 feet 3, like my father. I wanted him to be taller than I even when I wear heels. And when I discovered that Jim Elliot was interested in me, I was disappointed because Jim was only 5'10", just 1 inch taller than I. But God had picked that man out for me. He had a whole lot of qualities that I hadn't even thought to ask for. And you know what? I was nothing like what Jim Elliot was looking for physically. He wanted a short, dark-haired, outgoing, athletic girl. I am none of the above. So it was not primarily physical attraction. It was two people who had spent time in prayer to God, had surrendered their own wills with a willingness to be single, if that was God's will. And then God, in His way and in His time, brought us together. May God give you wisdom in your courtship.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliot. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.